The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, March 17th, 2013. Happy St. Paddy's Day. If you're listening live and if you're listening to the recording, it's obviously whenever you're listening to it. So in either case, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm happy to be here today after 2 weeks of not sitting in the chair to do this live. But if the feedback is any response, last week's recording, especially on, I believe it was attachments, was very, very well received for the second time around. So anyway, before we jump into the topic today, as always, let's connect. Let's join together in, well, in one community of energy to connect as fully as we can to create what we're going to share here today. So to start with, as we've done for quite some time, let's go within, connect. Open up to allow your own divinity to flow out more fully into your experience in this particular moment. So many people do this in different ways. You can go through your heart. You can go through your solar plexus. You can go through your third eye or your crown. Whatever feels best to you is how to do this. But your intention is clear. It's to allow your divinity to come up into higher experience and higher expression in this moment for you. So just allow your breathing to deepen and let that energy flow forth into your physical body, into your emotional body, and into your mental body. Allow it now to fill the rest of your energy field, your entire aura, and to flow into all of those connections that we call relationships, into the cords of energy that connect us in all of our relationships. Just allow your divinity to flow more fully into those energies, into those interactions, into those communications. All right. And now knowing that that connection to your own divinity is going to remain open throughout the time that we're joined here together, we open up to the next level. And this time we're going to open up to the connection with our Mother Earth. Excuse me. And again, you do what works best for you through the root chakra, through the chakras in the feet, through the cells of your skin, the outer layers of your physical body. Whatever works best for you. This is about opening up to connect with and receive that love and support that our Mother Earth has for you. And again, allow your breathing to be deep and easy.
And as you allow that energy to flow into you, to fill your physical body, to fill your emotional body, to fill your mental body, just let go of the need to take care of everything, to be in charge of everything, to be in control of everything. You're not alone. You've got this connection open now to your divinity more fully, and you're opening now to allow yourself to receive this energy of love and support from your Mother Earth. So let those energies that are about fear for your life, fear for your livelihood, fear for your health, fear for your job, whatever fear there might be, even unnamed fears, things that you're not consciously worrying about, but they're sitting in the background. Just give yourself permission to let those go, and to let go of the need to control that they bring up, that they activate. And as this energy continues to flow from your Mother Earth up to you, allow it to fill your entire energy field. And again, allow that energy, her love and support, to flow into those energetic connections in all your relationships. Knowing that you're supported, more supported than you had thought in all of your relationships, can give you a firmer sense, a firmer standing in those relationships. And now allow your gratitude to come up, your gratitude for being in a body right now, in this confusing, exciting, crazy time on planet Earth, when we've seen more change in the last 100 years than had been seen in thousands of years before that. When the opportunity for change is ripe, both in that external, in the physical, and in the spiritual, the inner world. And so allow that gratitude to come up and flow down to your Mother Earth. Return that to her. And as you do so, notice, it may not be at a conscious level, but open to notice that gratitude actually opens up more space for you to receive her love and support. And now open up, focus on, think about, connect with anything and everything that you love about being alive right now. Whether that's the people in your life, whether that's ice cream or macaroni and cheese, whether that's your spiritual community, whatever it might be, just allow yourself to feel that love and then offer that to her as well. And notice, again, at least being open to notice, that energetic shift that takes place as you offer her that love that you have. It opens you up and you can receive more of the love and support that she offers. All right. So let's continue. And again, knowing that this is going to stay open, this connection with our Mother Earth is going to stay this open, if not open further as we go on, we move to the next phase. And the next phase is to connect with those divine beings. Not that you're not divine. Not that our Mother Earth is not divine. But these are the beings who are outside of the physical dimension right now, and yet they're here supporting you. Your angels, your guides, your spiritual teachers and mentors, ascended masters, spirit guides. Terminology is not relevant, but This is about opening up again to allow yourself to receive their love and support for you, to connect with it more deeply and more consciously than you might typically do. And so again, just focus that, focus on opening in that intention to this divine support in whatever way works best for you. Again, some will do it through the heart, some through the third eye, some through the crown, some in whatever other way works, but it's about that intention to open. And as you breathe, allow yourself to bring into your conscious awareness whatever level you are ready for of experiencing that love and support as it flows into your physical body, as it flows into your emotional body, as it flows into your mental body, as it flows in to your entire energy field, and then once more, as it flows in to all of your relationships, supporting you in your relationships with the energy, this divine wisdom and love that these beings carry for you. All right. And just breathe that in. And once more, allow your energy of gratitude. Gratitude for this support. Gratitude of their presence in your lives. Allow that gratitude to flow back to them. And notice, if it comes to the conscious level, notice the expansion that takes place within you of the degree that you can receive their love and support. And offer them your love, in particular the love that you have for walking this path, for all that you have connected with that you would not have connected with had you not been walking a spiritual path in this lifetime. And allow that to flow out to them as well. And once more, notice, if it comes to the conscious level, notice any expansion in the space within you to receive their love and support in return. And now we move up and connect in another way. And this time it's to this community that we're creating here as we come together, the Exposing the Masters Within community, and connecting with the energy of the shared intention that we have to come into mastery, to discover it, to experience it, and to express it. That's my intention for this program, and that's my intention, my desire for you, that you would come into that experience. And that's what brings us all here together. And so it's about opening into the consciousness of all those who are co-creating with me and with you, and allowing yourself to receive that support of that shared intention, that mass consciousness moving in that direction. And again, open up in whatever way works for you, to whatever degree you feel safe. I hope you feel safe. You're here listening. And again, just allow that extra level of support as we come together in this community to flow into you, connecting, filling the physical, the mental, the emotional, your entire energy field, and indeed pouring into all of your relationships, supporting you in all of them, supporting you in experiencing and expressing your divinity in all of your relationships. And we expand yet again into another community. And this is the community of all the light workers, all those on the planet who are consciously moving in this same direction. They may never hear this program. They may never join our smaller community, but this is the larger community that holds that same intention that we share to move into empowerment ourselves and to support others in moving into their empowerment. And so again, it's about connecting with that mass consciousness and opening up to it and allowing yourself to receive the support. Again, we are not alone. We are walking in community, even if we are not consciously aware of that community. There are literally millions of people on the planet now carrying this intention and feeding this consciousness that we are now choosing to eat from, to drink from, to receive. So allow yourself to open up to receive that support as well. And again, breathe it in to the physical, the emotional, and the mental. Breathe it into your entire energy field and into all of your relationships. And now we come to the one that is the mass consciousness that is of all of humanity. Because all of humanity at the core, if people are in a body right now, if the soul is in a body, then this fire is still there, and it is the desire for things to be better, to improve, to expand. And so we're opening up to that core drive that is in every one of us. And we're taking it in, and we're bringing it through our intention that this not just be about things getting better, but about becoming empowered. It's not about the world saving us. It's about us stepping into our power. And so we're shaping what we're receiving as we receive it. And yet, it is supporting us, expanding our power. So let yourself breathe that in as well, to your physical, your emotional, and your mental bodies, to your energy field. And it is a spark, if you will, a spark that comes from your divinity. That desire for improvement is that desire to move into empowerment. And so we've come full circle back around to where we began, connecting with our own divinity. And just take another deep breath and let all of this energy flow and become more a part of you than it was before we began. All right. Well, I'm happy to be back. Almost didn't make it today either. I was setting up the computer to get in and go through Skype to do the program today, and doing something that I've done 1,000 times before, just closing a program, and what happened? My computer froze. And I could not get it back up and open before it was time to do the program, so thankfully the backup plan kicked in, and I received the call from Doug, my producer, on the phone, and here I am talking to you through the phone rather than over Skype, but it's good to be back. Now, 2 weeks ago, for those of you who listen every week, thank you for that. 2 weeks ago was my birthday, so I was out doing ceremony at the ocean, standing in the ocean, rather cold when it's 41 degrees, but it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. So while you were hearing the replay, that's what I was doing, setting the energies for this coming year for myself. And, well, for those of you, again, who listen regularly, you know that I have set myself a plan that every week I'm going to choose to do something different, something new, or at the very least something I haven't done for a very long time, and because of the degree of difference I have in myself and in my life, then it will be as if it were something completely new. And so standing in the ocean when it's 41 degrees certainly qualifies for that. And last week, well, I would say I got caught with my pants down, but that wasn't it exactly. I got caught away, and something took much, much longer than it was supposed to, and I didn't make it back in time, and I did not have the number to call in. And yet, it was something else, because I received a number of emails more than typical thanking me for last week's program, because that replay really resonated with a lot of people. And so I was very grateful for that divine flow coming in, because it wasn't my plan to do a replay, but obviously it connected for a number of you. So as always, thank you for that feedback and letting me know. Now, what I'd like to talk about today kind of jumps between two different things. And, well, I guess I will make it as typical of me, as personal as I can, because that's one side of the coin. And so this is a manifestation story. And it's also, well, a trust story, perhaps. And it's also, well, other things underneath of each of those two topics. So let me go back to a couple of weeks ago when it was my birthday. The day before, a friend of mine took me out for a wonderful lunch. And then somehow we ended up looking in a couple of consignment shops. And not looking for anything in particular. I wasn't going there with a particular purpose in mind. Just enjoying the company and looking at things. Well, on that day, I came across a couch, a sofa. I don't know what the right term is. I seem to be saying couch now that I live in New England, and I don't know if it's because they say it more in New England or not. When I lived in Missouri, it was sofa, and the English teacher in me wonders why that is. But anyway, it's a couch for now. And not that I'd been consciously focused on trying to manifest a new couch for myself. And obviously, it's a consignment shop, so it's not a completely new couch. It's been someone else's before. But this just fit perfectly what I would desire in a couch. One, it's deep. I have long legs. I like one that I can actually sit back in. Two, it's, I don't know if it's exactly plush, but it definitely is comfortable. You sink into it. It's almost like getting a hug when you sit in this couch. And three, it seems to be a material that I don't think the cats will necessarily automatically destroy as soon as I bring it in the house. So I wasn't planning, I wasn't shopping for a couch. So I did what I typically do when I'm trying to measure something, is I walked it with my feet. I got the basic measurements and I left. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if I could get this and use it in that room, and finally be able to not use the old futon that I've been using for quite some time. And it's wonderful as a futon, as a bed, but it's terrible as a couch. Not comfortable at all. And so I tend to leave it open as a bed, and then I lounge, and then, well, part of my desire to do things disappears when I do that. And so as part of this general idea I have for the year of trying to do a new thing, that's where the idea came into my head, that it would be good to have a different couch, because I know that if I were on a couch instead of lounging, when I'm in that downtime just relaxing, there are a number of things that I could get done. For instance, that was when I made the Onks, the copper and crystal Onks. I had the futon as a couch. It wasn't comfortable enough to lounge. It wasn't really even comfortable enough to sit, but it made me sit up and work, and or it allowed me to. So I thought, well, if I could just get this, then when I'm in that downtime and the TV's on and I'm not doing anything with my brain, I'm not trying to figure anything out, I'm not actively, yet there are things I could do. And I'd be more likely to do them if I had a couch. So that's all in the background. And another thing that comes into the story is that the parsonage that I live in is 100 years old. And so it was not made
for lots of this huge modern furniture. Now, this couch is not particularly overstuffed. It's not one of those that is just extra huge. It's a normal size couch. But when I bought a bed for this place and tried to move the mattress and the foundation up the stairs, they wouldn't go around the corner because it wasn't built for that. And so I actually had to return it and get a different one with a split foundation. And so in the back of my head, I'm going, well, I can't just buy this. I have to try and figure out if this is going to fit. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I'd really like that. So I went back, got a tape measure, measured it exactly. I knew it would fit in the space in the room with my foot measurements. And I wanted to see if I could get it up the stairs and around that corner to get it in to the room I wanted in. Well, I'm telling you all this with purpose, whether you know that or not. And so what occurred to me, because I'm not bad with math or geometry, but when it comes to this, I was kind of at a loss because I had made a frame out of the copper pipe I used to build the Onks that was the size of the mattress, but I couldn't get it. I got it up the stairs, and yet when that got here, I couldn't get that foundation up the stairs because it wasn't flexible. And so I wasn't sure how to figure out if I could get the couch up the stairs or not. And so what occurred to me is, well, I can build a frame that's the outer dimensions of the couch, the back, the sides, and the bottom, and see if I can get that up the stairs. That way, at least I'm moving the outer dimensions, and I can see if I can bend it around the corner using the area of the seating area to see if it would fit. So I did that. I've never built a fake couch before. So that got a check mark for my new thing that week. And when I got my friend to help me with that, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. We couldn't get it up. It was not going to go around that corner. So I was like, whew. Buying the wood cost me a lot less than buying the couch would have. And I didn't want to buy it. And then, well, this particular consignment shop does not take returns, so I would have been stuck with it. They're like, well, you can bring it back and reconsign it. And I'm like, yeah, and then I lose the cut. So I was really glad and grateful that I had done that. And yet, the couch just kept sitting in the back of my head. And so, you know, talking to friends, various things. And one of them was like, well, can you get it through a window? And I said, it's on the second story. How are we going to get it up to the window? And then it occurred to me, one of the things that I don't think about this house, because it's on the side of the house that I never see, is that when they had used, I guess when they had used the parsonage, before they sold the church and the parsonage and moved into their new church, for a while they had used it as, I don't know, the Sunday school building, I guess, where they had the kids come while church services were going on. And my guess is at that point in time when they were using it in that way, they had actually installed a fire escape on the side of the house. So there's a door there on the second story, and it goes out down the side. Well, I'll get to the door in a minute. But what occurred to me then is, well, there are stairs that go right past the window to the room that the couch would fit in. And so I measured the window, and it was like, well, if we turn the couch sideways, put it on its back, it would go through this window, or it should go through this window, or it would be really, really close. Or maybe we could bend it in like I was trying to do around the stairs. Okay, so I figured out how to take out old wooden windows. That was an interesting thing. And then I was confronted with the aluminum frame for the storm windows. And I caulked all the windows on the house last year, and when I was caulking them, I, you know, saw the screws that were holding this frame on, and so I thought, well, that might not be such a difficult thing, so I can just take that off, because we tried it just through the window while the aluminum frame was on there, and it wouldn't work. So then we unscraped all the caulk and unscrewed all the screws, and the frame still wouldn't come off. So then I consulted the University of YouTube and went on, and every single video about removing aluminum windows, they were destroying the frames in order to take them off, basically because they were going to put replacement windows in. It wasn't that they wanted to put it back on again. So I still don't know if there's a way to get those windows off, but without destroying them. Have a person who works in construction, and he does the same thing. They get destroyed as they come off. So maybe it'll come off, maybe it won't. So, all right, I'll let that go. And then it occurs to me, I've got this door here as well. So I measure the door. It's wide enough. But when they bought this place, before they rented it to me, the people who own the building now, they turned that room into a walk-in closet. So there's all these shelves. And with the shelves up, there's absolutely no way for me to get this thing through the door. And yet, I did buy the thing. When I measured the window and thought I could get it through the window, I bought the couch. So it's downstairs in the dining room waiting. And so now I'm either going to have to take that aluminum frame off or figure out how to get all these shelves down. So now I have all the shelves down, and I've got that measured. And the next step, hopefully, is that it will come through that door, and it will be very easy, and it will go right into the room where it belongs, etc. And so what is this? Why am I rambling on about the story of my couch? What does this have to do with anything? Well, first of all, I'm using this, bringing this to you, to talk about some things related to manifestation. As I said at the beginning, manifestation and trust. I think those are the things I said. Anyway, manifestation. What did I have? I had that it would be really nice to have something to replace this futon that would cause me to sit up instead of lounging so that I could do things, so that I could get things done while I was in downtime but still awake enough to be doing two things at the same time. And that was what I was putting out. I really wasn't actively trying to manifest a couch. And then I've got someone takes me out for my birthday, and we just happen upon this thing. And I sit down at the first time, and I just sink into it. And it just feels right. And so I took these steps, going out of the way to build this frame for a couch. It's not really a frame for a couch. I wouldn't sit on it. But this outline of a couch, this fake couch, to try and get it up the stairs. And I took it as a great sign. I was actually, it's not that I wasn't a little sad that it wasn't going to fit up the stairs, but I was very accepting of it. So I don't know. I don't know to what degree I'm attached to this particular couch, although now I own it. But I was okay with that. And then somebody else presents this idea. You know, and I've heard this before. You can't get it through the door and up the stairs. You can pull it up into the window. Well, this couch is much heavier than that. I would not want to try and get this with ropes and pulleys through a second-story window or try to take it up a ladder. But that idea presented to me opened up another door, opened up another possibility. I guess the door closed on the stairs and I opened up the window. And that opened up another possibility and another option. And if I take that frame off, it will definitely fit through the window. I didn't quite have all my ducks in a row about how to get the frame off without breaking it or bending it in a way that it couldn't put back on. But I went with it. I went with it. It kept coming back around. And when it didn't work to get it in there, on the first try through that window frame. Well, at that point I purchased it, so I couldn't stop, but then I went that next step and called the company to try to figure out how to take these shelves down, and spent the hours hauling all the stuff off the shelves, taking all the shelves down, etc., so that now I'm ready when I have the help available again to move the couch in, or to attempt to move the couch in. And, well, what's the point again? First of all, it's that as we are putting energy out about something we're desiring, we don't have to go actively looking for it all the time. A lot of us, I think, get really focused when we decide we're going to have something. And quite frankly, it's easiest to talk about purchasing things, although this applies for everything. It's not just about things. It's about relationships. It's about a new job. It's about whatever we might be desiring to manifest. The most important thing for us to do is put out that initial intention and open up to it. That intention for the year to do new things. Well, I've done new things. I've now figured out how to take out a window. I've now built a frame for a couch. I've now learned how to take down those shelves. Those are all things I never had any intention to learn how to do. Not that I didn't know the power tool thing to build that couch frame, but I've never done that. So that intention came into this. And my desire to, and my energy, having shifted on the solstice last year, moving me in the direction of getting things done that had been sitting around because I've been lounging and didn't have the energy to do them. So that came into this as well. And that put in my head, well, it would be good to replace this. Again, I wasn't actively looking. Why do we go to consignment shops? I don't know. We just ended up there. And this particular one just, it looked good, and it was so comfortable. It just felt right. And I was willing to let it go when I couldn't get it up the stairs until someone else brought that whole crazy idea of bringing it through a window, and I went, wait a minute, I've got a window that's on this fire escape. And it's not, you know, the rickety New York apartment fire escape. It's a set of metal stairs. And that's not such a crazy idea after all. And then that didn't work. And so there's another possibility. Now that the window is closed, kind of, now the door opened again, except it's a different door. And hopefully it'll work. And yet, someone else could have bought it out from under me. In fact, it was quite funny. When I went in there and bought it, the woman I made the purchase with gave me the tag. She'd written sold on it, and she, you know, sent me back to the couch to repin the price tag on the couch. When I got there, there were two people, a couple, who were engaged in discussion about purchasing it and literally looking for the price tag to purchase it. Had I not bought it at that moment, they were serious enough, they may have bought it out from under me. And so what am I saying here? Well, part of it is about that trust. When I went back to purchase it, yes, I thought that I could get it through the window with that aluminum frame still on it. It was only about 3/4 of an inch too small, and I thought we might be able to bend it around. You know, get that first arm in and then get the geometry working. And it just didn't work, but still. I kept the trust that, well, all right, this couch doesn't work, so I'll figure something else out. And I was mentally, at this point, I figured the couch woke something up in me, so I started thinking about other things, you know. The size couch that I could get in there up the stairs would be the size of a love seat, and I'm too big for that. Not really what I wanted. But
maybe it's time to get a recliner. Well, that may have the same problem as the futon all the way out, lounging instead of sitting upright. But I started playing with these things, and then the next piece showed up of someone saying, oh, take it through the window. And yet, I was in the trust that eventually this would be taken care of. Now, what else do I have going on here? Well, in going through and taking everything off of those shelves, I've pulled all this stuff, all this old stuff, much of it's stuff that doesn't really get used. It's kind of in there, and eventually I may get around to it. I may have use for it again. Out. So what is it going to give me the opportunity to do? Well, go through and see if there's any more of that stuff that it's time for me to let go of, because it doesn't serve me right now. I have moved all the stuff around in the room, cleaned it out, where I was going to bring that couch through the window. And now, whether it's coming through the window or that door, it's going to come in here. But again, going through these things, cleaning, vacuuming, moving things in a way that, well, let's put it this way. I'm not the best housekeeper. Not when it comes to vacuuming and dusting. But allowing what comes up to guide the next step. Allowing that is as much. And I'm not saying don't take action. Like I said, I bought that couch and probably bought it out from under the people who would have bought it had I not. And took these steps, well, I guess, technically, if I were to do the show on the phone again instead of on Skype, I could even be in there on that couch next week, maybe. Not that I won't do it on Skype, but this process, I think this process of manifesting, we tend to take too seriously, like so much else on this path, especially the process of healing. We take it too seriously. Now, was I being too serious when I built the frame? Well, I don't know. I would have felt really not very wise had I just bought it before I built the frame and tried to get it up the stairs. I don't think we're supposed to have trust that is blind faith. I really don't think we are. I don't have blind faith when I'm not attached. Because I wasn't attached to the outcome of this particular couch. And so I wasn't just going to buy it. I didn't get out the pendulum and go, oh yes, this is the couch, let's do this. I measured it. I took the steps. I used my mental body. I didn't just go with my physical body, how it felt when I sat down, and my emotional body going, oh, I really like this. I used the mental body. And then I used it again and again and again to figure out how to take the stuff out of the window, to take down the down those shelves and get there. And now I do have trust that I will get it in, because I know the worst thing that happens is I take that window frame off, the aluminum window frame, and it will go in through that window. I may not like taking it off. I may bend it, I may break it, that may require a whole other step of getting some kind of a storm window to replace that one, and I don't think they make them like that anymore. But we take the next step and then see what happens. And it may take us somewhere else. I was already thinking about, when I couldn't get that frame up the stairs, I was already thinking about what else I could do, because the energy was moving that it was time for me to do something. about replacing that futon so I could shift how my energy runs in my own house, how I live in my own house. And that's what manifestation is about. It's about changing our experience of the world. It's not just about having things. It's about having different experiences. And I'm not a willful person. I can be stubborn. I can be very, very stubborn. But I'm not necessarily willful in that I try to force things to happen. And I don't know if that's good or bad. But as we step in to our desires and feel energy moving in that direction, the next thing will unfold. And we will see it when we're not attached to it taking a particular form or a particular shape or being a particular couch. And that, to me, is a huge piece of stepping into the trust as we're in the manifestation. Not doing that willful, I'm going to force this to happen, or this is the specific absolute outcome. I didn't start manifesting a microfiber green couch that was these dimensions. My manifestation started from, well, I'd like something, I'd like a couch, so I don't lounge like this, so I can do some of these things that I would do if I weren't lounging. Yeah, if there's one of the seven deadly sins I have the best, it's sloth. The most. Anyway, I guess I would maybe close this discussion out with this. The more we can play with this, and how do we know we're playing? Well, for me, one of the things that is a sign of play when I'm manifesting or in any other circumstance is excitement. It's this, well, you know what excitement is, hopefully. It's this little extra energy. It's almost like the imp is awake. That playful, well, maybe the leprechaun. Maybe that's why we're talking about this on St. Paddy's Day. The leprechaun has come up and wants to play. And that energy, for me, is a lot more powerful than the taking it seriously and trying to make it happen. So, anyway, I think stop there with this discussion and give a very, 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 very brief commercial again for the quickening. Did the third quickening. This time we worked with the third eye chakra. Did that on March 11th, so last Monday. And am continuing to get the kind of feedback I got for the first two. So, you're listening to this program, at least to some degree, I presume, because you're desiring to experience more divinity, to bring that into more consciousness. That is the core purpose of this process of the quickening. It will last this year through 2013. It will be available after that through the recordings, I presume, but it will last this year. It's not too late to start if you'd like to. These first three have been extremely powerful. And if you're really serious about that, opening up into divine experience, rather than just, crawling toward it, this is moving energy. People are having experiences after the first one, after the second one, after the third one, where things are shifting in, the word profound has been used. Lots of other words have been used. If you want to read some of them, that's on the website too. But tune in. See if it's resonant for you. we'd love to have you join us. And just as a reminder, my website, OurEarthPass.com, OurEarthPass.com. So let's go do some channeling, see who we have as a guest today. And as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to align the energies and bring in whoever will be joining us. Hello and welcome, dear ones. This is, well, you would know me most likely as the Apostle Andrew. Whew. Take a deep breath and make that noise if you're in a place where you can do that. Whoo! It is time to be more playful. Guys. It's so powerful when you can get the truth that God loves to laugh. God loves to laugh. All of creation. Now, not necessarily did you experience it this way, but all of creation is spectacular, amazing, splendiferous, fantastic to experience. Now, this may seem odd to some of you, but for those beings who are not in body right now, a paper cut is a miracle. To experience a paper cut, to have something so benign as paper, well, until the internet and electronics and all kinds of things, it was the medium of communication at a distance. And to have that be something that can create such pain out of something so small, it's a miracle! Now, that's not the kind of miracle most of you think about when you think about miracles. You think about miraculous healing, people rising from the dead and being cured of the incurable. And yet we would say the lowly paper cut that can bring such an intense experience without understanding why. It's not like it's a sword or a knife. It's not like it's a gun or something else that is supposed to bring blood out when you use it. It's paper, for God's sake. And every other thing that you have ever experienced, from the perspective of those who've never been in body, it's a miracle. Because this physical reality, Think about children when they are playing with Play-Doh or building sandcastles or doing something with their mind in Let's Pretend, where they're shaping worlds, you say. They're not writing long novels. No, but they're creating entire worlds as pirates or as princesses. Or as, well, some children, accountants. Or whatever else. When they are taking physical substance and shaping it with their mind to give them an experience that the adult looks at and says, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? But for the child, can fall into and have it be completely real, even though we know it's just the box that the washer came in. It becomes that castle. We know that that doll is inanimate, and yet it talks to them and answers them when they talk to it. If you wish to learn to manifest with great power, that's the path to do it in. Because what you seek is the experience. And when you can create that, even if it is only in your mind, well, what is your mind? Your mind is the architect, your heart, which gets labeled and lumped in with the mind for many, is the generator. And your life is the receptacle where that new reality pours forth. So, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Be like the little children. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is creating at will, at choice, because you choose to, because you desire to. That's what children do. So, become that child. Step into your excitement and change your world. It's that easy. It's that simple. And when you do that and change your inner world, your outer world cannot help, cannot be stopped from changing as well. And you really need to laugh more, dear ones. Every day. Much, much love and joy and excitement and play to you. Namaste. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you to all of you out there. And Doug, you can start those chimes anytime. Thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you. I cannot do this without you. I co-create this with you. And part of that is that feedback you send me. I appreciate all of it, good, bad, and ugly. Let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like more of or less of. Send me things you might like to hear me talk about, topics, ideas, questions, anything. I can't guarantee that I will put any of it on the program. I do guarantee I will read it. It will go through that process, and it may well show up and be discussed. Anyway, I wish you all a marvelous week. I will be back here same time, same place next week. At least that's the plan. We'll see what the flow is. Oh, and happy, happy, happy Equinox this Wednesday. Much love, my friends. Namaste.